but very iconic Buck Rogers radio series. And yes, he did have a radio series, but interestingly enough, despite the endured well-knownness of the name to this very day, it lasted like 12 episodes. Buck Rogers got his start in a book, in a novel, that's nearly 100 years old. And tonight, we're going to be taking a listen to a story that's very different from that. So, sit back, relax, and spend an evening here with us with some spoken word entertainment in the case Chase After Killer Kane.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
The shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box.
Now, without wasting any time, we're going to pick up our story on the surface of the moon, just as Buck and Wilma discovered that they'd been tricked by Killer Kane and Ardela. Now, here we go, 500 years into the future.
A rocket ship. It's gone.
Oh, that rocket blast knocked me over.
Clear, get up quick. Kane and Ardela must have hidden behind some of these rocks out here, and they sneaked into our ship as soon as we left it.
Buck, they've got to hear aboard with them. We've got to go after them.
Right. We'll use this ship of Kane's.
Well, go ahead. Get into it and take the controls.
I said that a chase between these two equal ships was of no use. But this time, there's nothing else to do. Here now. Close the metal door and we'll get underway.
Can you still see our blue ship in the teleradioscope, Ardela?
Yes, Kane. Buck and Wilma have just gone into it.
So they can head right out here after us, of course. We'll wait until they take off their spacesuits to operate the controls.
What did you do?
Left a slow generating gas pot under the control seat. It'll poison them before they know what's happened to them.
Good work. Say, you must have hit Dr. Hewer pretty hard while he was getting out of his spacesuit. See, he's still out cold.
Then we won't need to worry about him for a while. As a matter of fact, from now on, he can do all the work.
How do you mean?
Hewer's next job will be to invent a new weapon. For me. And it will have to be something I can use to bring a whole planet to its knees in a single stroke.
Isn't that asking a lot, Kane?
For a man like you, huh?
No. What I'm thinking of is trying to persuade him to do it.
I have an idea that when I show him how much he can accomplish under my direction, he may be perfectly willing to play along with us.
All right. Now, where are we headed for?
Ardela, We're going to Enceladus.
That's one of the moons of Saturn, isn't it?
Yes, it's one of the least known moons of Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
But I've decided that it will provide a good nucleus for the organization I will build up to carry out my plans.
Why pick Enceladus?
Because there we can work without any chance of being disturbed or interfered with.
Oh. That sounds logical.
Oh, my head.
Wait, Hewer's coming too.
Look, where are you? Wilma.
Shall I throw some water on his face?
No, let him come out of it in his own sweet way.
Killer Kane.
Hello, Ewa. How are you?
So, what have you done? Where are Buck and Wilma?
I'm sorry, Dr. Hewer.
Adela.
But I'm afraid it was necessary to leave them stranded down on the moon.
Stranded?
Well,
Yes. Yes, the power control on that blue ship down there is out of water.
Oh.
Now, how do you feel?
As good as could be expected under the circumstances. Do you really care?
Ewa, I'm a man of few words, so I'm going to speak bluntly.
Well,
you know what my plans for conquest of the solar system amount to. Or at least you ought to know by this time.
Yes, Kane. I know your wild ideas only too well.
Now, wait a minute.
Yes.
Nobody realizes any more than I do your capabilities as a scientist. In short, with your cooperation, the conquest I desire will be easy. And if you seriously stop to think about it, you'll realize that working with me will not only give you more wealth than you've ever dreamed of, but a chance to make scientific progress such as you've never had before. The whole solar system will be your laboratory. You will be the greatest scientist who ever lived.
Kane, I'm not the least bit interested in what you're saying.
Huh?
Nothing under heaven could ever persuade me to be a partner to your crime.
You are. Either you'll come along with me, or you'll die, as Rogers and Wilma have died.
What? What are you talking about?
You heard what I said.
But before you said... You only said that the ship you left them in back there on the moon was disabled.
Of course, so you wouldn't feel any animosity toward me when I made my little proposition to you. Do you think I'm a fool? What good would disabling their ship do us? No, you are. Our little situation required somewhat more drastic measures.
What did you do?
Beneath your dear friend Buck's control seat is a small beaker of chemicals, which right now are generating a deadly gas.
Oh.
In other words, when he and Wilma take off their spacesuits to operate that ship, it will begin to have its effect on them. Not too quickly, either. So they'll have no warning until it's too late. Clever, huh?
You're not human.
Really? Thank you.
Kane, you're a monster.
Yes, you are. And I'll give you the same medicine if you try to cross me. Now use your head, you old fogey. You've got a decision to make. On the one hand, wealth, fame, and power. On the other, burial in outer space. Well, will you play along with me?
Never. Let me hit that radio unit. I've got to warn them.
Get away from the radio.
Not like you.
Nice work with the paralysis ray, Adela. I congratulate you.
Thanks, King. Whether you'll admit it or not, Hewer was in a fair way of knocking you down.
I wouldn't say exactly that. But the old boy does pack more of a wallop than I gave him credit for. But it's the last one he'll ever throw.
But now listen.
Well?
I can't seem to spot it on the viewplate now. Perhaps because we're out of range.
Enceladus?
No, the rocket ship we left on the moon. Just before you and Hewer started to scrap, I saw it take off. Maybe your little trick hasn't worked after all.
So soon? Of course not. Knowing Rogers, I know that he'd take off after us without waiting to remove his spacesuit. But as he certainly wouldn't continue to fly with it on, or Wilma either. And when they do remove them, we'll have nothing more to worry about.
That's me, Wilma. That's the fastest takeoff we ever made. Now, let's get out of these spacesuits so we won't have to talk by radio.
Are we going in the same direction that Kane took?
Yeah. So spot his ship in the teleradioscope as fast as you can.
Hard to tell what focusing range to... There it is.
Good. I see it. And we're going straight after it.
Thank goodness he's flying a straight course, though.
Huh?
Notice how clouds of cosmic dust keep interfering with the vision on this viewplate?
Yeah. Too bad he got such a head start on us. But Wilma, he's heading straight out toward Mars or Saturn. They happen to be in line with each other.
Now I can't see a ship at all. Look, if he swings around out there very much, we're going to lose him, do you know it?
Well, we don't need to. We can hook in the gas analyzer and automatically follow his rocket trail.
Great. I'll get it for you right away.
Get it for me?
Sure. Out of this cabinet over here.
But it's right here on the control board. See these dials? There. Turned it on.
Then What's this unit here on this shelf?
Oh, that's just an auxiliary unit in case this one gets out of order. Leave it there.
Oh.
See? These dials register 3, 1.7, and 32.1.
Mm-hmm.
King's rocket trail, all right. From now on, this ship will follow it automatically.
Good. But say, let's get out of these space suits.
Yes, let's. Breathing condensed air gets tiresome.
They're not exactly comfortable in the control cabin, either. Unsnap my helmet clamps for me.
Sure. No, wait a second.
Where are you going?
Didn't close the door of this cabinet tight. For that, you can open your own helmet.
All right. Anything to breathe pure air again.
Wait, stop.
Huh?
Keep on that helmet.
Are you trying to get me? Ouch!
Told you to keep that helmet on. You see that auxiliary gas analyzer there in the cabinet?
What's the matter, Buck?
Cyanogen gas. Something very much like it here in this control cabin.
What?
According to dial one on this analyzer, it's slowly been getting stronger and stronger in here. Right now, there's enough to kill us instantly.
Buck!
More of Killer Kane's work. Somewhere in this control cabin, here it is. See the speaker?
Right under your control speaker.
Yes, pouring out a gas intended to get us the minute we took off our spacesuits. Snap your helmet clamps tight again.
What are you going to do?
Throw the speaker out the main metal door.
Well, we're tearing along like this?
Yes, sir. Look, do you feel the air in this cabin rush out when I open that door?
Yes, Buck. The pressure in here is returning to normal again.
Well, that helped to clear the gas out, too. Thank heaven for the auxiliary gas analyzer.
Yes, it's back to normal again.
Well, then we can take off these helmets safely.
I'm almost afraid to.
No, it's okay now. Here, I'll help you. There you are. Here goes my helmet.
Now that it's all over, Buck, I feel sort of funny.
Yeah, I know what you mean. If you really think about it, it was a pretty close call for us.
Too close. Killer Kane and Ardala won't stop at anything. The president was right, Buck, when he said that this is the most dangerous assignment he ever gave us.
And we're seeing it through. We know how far Killer Kane will go to get what he wants, so we're going to play mighty safe every step of the way. But we're not going to waste any time.
We can't waste any time. Keep the power on full. Dr. Hewer is a prisoner aboard their ship, Buck. After what they tried to do to
us. Don't worry, Wilma. We'll get to him. We're on a clear rocket trail that can't miss. Maybe these two ships are exactly alike. But there are a few tricks of navigation that even Killer Kane doesn't know.
Yes, and I'll bet Buck and Wilma do get to Dr. Hewer and rescue him from the arch criminals. But how? And I wonder what Buck meant when he said that there are a few tricks of navigation that Killer Kane doesn't know. Well, I'm afraid we'll have to wait for the next episode.
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box.
Well, sir, it looks at the moment as though Killer Kane and Ardala, the arch criminals, are one up on Buck and Wilma. To begin with, they succeeded in stealing Buck's super rocket ship and Dr. Hewer with it. Now they're flying at top speed through outer space toward one of the 10 moons of the planet Saturn. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles behind them, Buck and Wilma doggedly follow the criminal's rocket trail, determined to rescue Dr. Hewer at any cost. But now let's pick up our story in the rocket ship of Kane and Ardala. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
You are still under the influence of the paralysis ray, Ardala?
Yes, Kane. He's still out cold, back in the storage compartment.
Good. Now, we've left Mars far behind, and the moons of Saturn are dead ahead of us. From the minute we land on the one called Enceladus, we start building our organization.
Enceladus, huh?
Right. It's one of the least known moons of Saturn, so we'll be perfectly safe there.
If we aren't being followed out here...
Nobody's seen us. How could we be?
By a rocket plane equipped with a gas analyzer.
You're right, Ardala. I hadn't thought of it.
Well, it's about time you did.
Don't let it worry you. Watch.
Why'd you cut the power? What are you going to do?
Before cutting the power, I swung us wide from our course.
Huh? Hey, take it easy, will you?
Pipe down and hold tight to your control seat. By the time I'm through, there isn't a gas analyzer in existence that will be able to follow the trail of this ship.
Hey, let me know when you're going to do that, will you?
This is something that even your dear departed friend Rogers wouldn't have thought of.
Rocket trail still leads in the direction of Mars and Saturn, Buck.
Yeah. A few more hours of flying at this speed, and we should be able to spot his ship in the teleradioscope.
I'll try another look on the viewplate now.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, how about it?
Oh, I guess we're just not close enough yet. Or else there's too much cosmic dust in the way.
Well, don't worry about it. As long as this rocket trail holds out, there's nothing... Wilma.
What's the matter, Buck?
The rocket trail is stopped.
But we've got to keep on Killer Kane's track.
Now look.
What?
Now the dials register again.
Yes, I'm like that.
Oh, sir, it can mean only one thing.
Huh?
Kane has deliberately swerved his ship around to make a crooked trail. Listen to our motors as we follow it.
It doesn't make very comfortable flying.
No, it doesn't, but... Now look. The trail is gone completely.
Can't you pick it up again?
I'm afraid not, Wilma. This is one of Kane's old tricks, and believe me, a clever one. Out here, where there's no air friction, his momentum is enough to carry him literally thousands of miles between short bursts of power. Maybe hundreds of thousands of miles.
Adela, things are working out beautifully.
Yes, Kane?
While you were giving your another dose of the paralysis ray, I contacted the king of Enceladus by radio.
Good.
His name is Cordax, and I told him that we are Rogers and Wilma.
No.
That we're coming to see him on important official business.
Did Cordax ever know Buck and Wilma?
He's heard about them, but never seen them.
Marvelous.
Now, we'll land at his capital in a few minutes. On the private landing platform atop his palace.
Oh, the king has been impressed with our importance even before he's seen it.
Exactly. Thinking that we're Rogers and Wilma, he's all ready to eat right out of our hands.
Kane, I hand it to you. You certainly have a pretty little way of pulling the wool over people's eyes and making them like it.
Forget it. Are you sure you gave Yor enough of the paralysis ray to keep him out of trouble?
He's saturated with it. Can't even wiggle his ears.
Good. Now, see? There's the capital right below us. I'll cut the power and coast to a landing.
Somebody down there waiting for us on that platform.
Yes, it must be King Korak. Hang on now. Now, don't forget, I'm Rogers and you're Wilma.
Okay, let's get out.
Welcome. Welcome to Enceladus. The most progressive moon of Saturn, Captain Roger.
How are you, Cordax? Meet Lieutenant Wilma Derrick.
Oh, greetings.
How do you do, Your Majesty?
I am honored in having you here. Yes, sir, honored.
Well, let's not waste time with formalities, Cordax. Where can we talk?
Why, right through this door here in my private study. Lieutenant?
Thank you.
Here we can be comfortable and undisturbed.
Fine. This will make good headquarters for the work we'll have to do while we're here.
While I think of it, Captain...
Well?
I understand that when you and Lieutenant Wilma visited the moons of Saturn before, you brought along a gentleman who was a very wonderful scientist. The man who developed the system of government under which our moons now function.
Well, he means Dr. Heuer.
Yes, that's it, Dr. Heuer. Where is he now?
Why, he came with us.
Oh, yes?
But, on the way, he... developed a strange illness that has, shall we say, rendered him totally unconscious.
How terrible.
Right now, he is in our rocket plane, so I don't want anyone to go near it. You must have complete and undisturbed rest.
Well, isn't there something we can do for him?
Nothing, Cordax, except leave him entirely alone.
Whatever you say, I'm sure you know what is best for him.
Right. Now, let's get down to business.
Yes. Yes, Captain Rogers.
Huh? Yes. Now, Ardella, Lieutenant Wilma and I are here as delegates of the Interplanetary Council of Science.
Yes.
Our scientists have discovered that a large, unexplored planet, far out of the solar system, is planning to invade all the others with which we've established contact.
Oh.
In any event, Cordax, our job is to organize a space fleet that will be the most powerful ever assembled.
Of course, I can see that.
And we must have an army composed of every able man on every moon of Saturn. That army will be under my leadership, of course.
Of course. And, Captain, I shall waste no time in informing the kings of the other Saturnian moons that you are here and that they are to take all orders from you.
And you believe they'll cooperate?
Oh, no question about it, none. Everybody knows what you and Lieutenant Wilmer and Dr. Hewer did for us when you were here before.
Fine, fine. Now, when you inform the kings of the magnificent project we're about to undertake, tell them they must immediately effect censorship of all interplanetary news channels.
Why that, Captain?
Correct. No one outside of the Council and the people of the Saturnian moons know what is going on.
What?
Why, on the other planets, it would cause nothing short of panic.
Oh, I see.
Now, before going any further, I want it understood that you are to be my official representative.
Oh, well, that is an honor I'm afraid I don't deserve.
Don't be so modest, Korax.
Well, thank you.
You will receive any and all delegates from the other moons that are involved in our plans. It will save me a great deal of time.
I shall serve you to the best of my ability. And if you'll pardon me, I think I'll contact the other kings right away.
Fine, fine. As long as this is going to be our headquarters, we'll stay right here.
Oh, certainly. By all means.
Well, I'm glad that part of the job is over.
You certainly swallowed everything you said, Kane.
Call me Buck.
Okay. You know, Buck and Wilma apparently rated pretty high with these folks. They're willing to do anything you say.
Well, compared to Earth people, these folks are all a bunch of weaklings. Shout at them once or twice, and they'll do anything you say.
But why did you want Korax to arrange it so you wouldn't have to receive the other kings? I should think you'd want to talk to them personally.
Some of them might remember our faces from our previous visit. Then we'd be in hot water.
Okay. Now, what's the next step?
We're going to put these people to work building spaceships.
I see.
With all the manpower that's available, it should be only a matter of days before we'll have a powerful enough space fleet to face anybody in the solar system who might try to make trouble for us.
Calling Black Barney. Buck Rogers calling Black Barney.
We can land on Mars whether you get him or not, Buck.
But if we don't have to land, it'll save us a lot of space traveling.
That's true.
Calling Black Barney.
Hello. Hello, Captain Rogers. How are you?
Hello, Barney.
Why, I haven't heard from you since we got back from exploring under the Earth. But I understand you're looking for Killer Kane and our dealer.
Right. Have you seen any sign of him?
Yes, sir. And I don't think you better waste any time if you want to catch him.
You know where they are?
Well, Captain, with them crooks on the loose, the minute I got back here to Mars, I got everything all organized out and fixed up a fleet of space patrols.
Yes.
And just yesterday, one of the pilots seen a strange super rocket ship flying out towards a little plasteroid.
Oh, you mean planetoid?
Yeah, plasteroid. It lays about 14 points west of here in the same orbit as Mars has.
Good.
With this teleradioscope in sharp focus, he could see that for Killer Kane hit right towards Saturn.
Great. So you sent patrol ships after it.
Well, Captain, I was sort of afraid to...
What? You mean you let him get away?
Well, Captain, in getting things all organized out in such a hurry, I forgot to equip any of my patrol ships with rocket guns or anything.
Well, poor old Barney. But at least our friends are on the trail again.
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box.
Buck Rogers, high adventure in the 25th century. A prophecy of the future, for don't forget that although some of the amazing scientific developments you hear about on this program may seem fantastic or improbable, they're all within the realm of possibility according to our present-day knowledge of science and mechanics. Now, as you no doubt remember, Killer Kane and Ardela have set up headquarters on the moon of Saturn called Enceladus. They're organizing a huge space fleet with which they plan to conquer Earth and all the other major planets in our solar system. Meanwhile, Buck and Wilma, hot on their trail, have just reached the Saturnian moon called Themis. And there, from King Nax, they've learned of Kane and Ardela's whereabouts. Now, let's join them. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Your Majesty, there's no question about it. The man over on the moon in Enceladus is Killer Kane.
Yes, sir. And his masquerading as Buck here is just to get authority.
Then my calling him by radio just now was a good move.
You bet it was. I recognized his voice the minute he spoke to you. Now, our job is to get on over there and trap him and Ardela before they can find out we're anywhere around.
Do they know you're on their trail, Captain?
No. So we can take time enough to plan carefully.
Take time, Buck? With Dr. Hewer in their hands? Well, look, it'll be nightfall by the time we can get to Enceladus.
Wilma, the only reason we didn't trap them on Earth's moon is because we didn't plan our moves carefully enough.
But think of Dr. Hewer.
You see, Your Majesty, it was down there on our moon that they kidnapped Dr. Hewer. Mm-hmm. If we'd used our heads, we'd have got them instead.
What happened, Captain?
Well, they landed their rocket plane on the moon in plain sight. And we saw it from Earth and went right after them.
I see.
But when we landed beside it, put on spacesuits and went over to it, they jumped out from behind some rocks and flew off in our ship with Dr. Hewer as their prisoner.
You just now said they don't know you're trailing them. They must have realized you'd lose no time in following them.
Right, but they planted a poison gas generator in the control cabin of this ship. It was only by luck that we weren't done in.
I see. And their belief that you're dead is to your advantage.
Yes, sir. Now, you say that Kane is organizing a huge battle fleet.
All of our Saturnian moons are contributing to it.
That can mean only one thing. Conquest of Earth.
Really?
Now, come on, Wilma. Let's get our heads together and plan how... Hey, where is she? Hmm?
Well, she was here just a moment ago, Captain.
Well, that's funny. Could you have gone into your office here? Wilma?
You're not there, Captain?
Oh, sir. She didn't get back into this rocket ship, did she? Wilma!
I don't believe so, Captain.
There's something screwy about this, King Max. Wilma! Hey, where are you?
Here's our plan for conquest in a nutshell, Ardela.
Right, Kane, go ahead.
In the first place, these Lunarians of Saturn, believing that we're Rogers and Wilma, have practically finished building a space fleet for us.
Mm-hmm. But what about the rocket fuel that was to come from the moon Themis?
All taken care of. King Max called me by radio.
Oh, fine.
Now, the space fleet is the biggest that has ever been assembled in one place, and to make things even better, every pilot in the lot has pledged blind allegiance to Captain Buck Rogers. In other words, to me.
What'd you do, go out and talk to them?
Not much. You and King Korax are still the only people on all the moons of Saturn who have seen me. And Korax, never having seen Rogers, believes that I'm he.
Well, King Nax tried hard enough to see you.
But he didn't. All I ask is that these people think I'm Rogers until we get our fleet of battle cruisers on the way to Earth. Then I don't care who knows our real identity. What's this?
You're not Captain Rogers at all, sir. Who are you?
Now, wait a minute, Korax. Just what's the trouble?
Why, you've misrepresented yourself. You're not Captain Rogers. And I insist that you tell me who you really are.
Very well. Close that door.
Yes, Captain.
Korax.
Yes?
My name is Kane. Killer Kane.
I've heard of you.
Now, speak up. How did you find out that I'm not Rogers?
Why, Captain, Killer, that is, I...
Speak up!
Yes, sir. I sent one of my guards to Themis to check upon the production of rocket fuel, as you suggested.
Well?
The guard is a man who lived on Themis at the time Captain Rogers was here before, when the captain set up our present governmental system.
Yes, yes, go on.
Well, he reported back to me less than 5 minutes ago, and he told me that he saw Captain Rogers land in a rocket plane there on Themis.
What?
Yes, sir.
Kane, we left a poison gas generator in that rocket plane to get rid of him and Wilma.
Lieutenant Wilma Deering is with him on Themis.
That's impossible. They're dead.
Oh, but my guard knew them well when they were here before, and he saw both of them step out of their rocket plane when it landed on the palace roof at Themis.
Where's that guard?
I threw him into prison.
Ha! Good for you.
But only to protect myself.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I realized how deeply I have become involved in this mad plan of yours. Rather than let the guard tell others where and how I've been deceived by you, I put him out of the way.
What do you intend doing now?
I don't know. Anything but continue to assist you in your mad conquests.
You're too late, Korax. You're more involved in this whole scheme than anyone else, even including myself. Now, even if you could back out, you'd be crazy to do so. For by staying with me, you can become one of the most wealthy and powerful men in the whole universe.
What? If only that could be true.
Would you have imagined a few days ago that our space fleet could be made ready for action in such a short time?
No.
But right now, it's the most powerful in the solar system. Any opposition to it, and that means to me, can result in but one thing. Instant and complete annihilation. In other words, Korax, you have no choice in the matter.
Yes, you're right. But I'm glad of it. I've seen what you can do, and I believe you in your promise for wealth and power.
That's the spirit.
I've had my taste of authority in ruling this little moon of Saturn. Now my power will extend throughout the whole solar system.
Absolutely.
After all, we can live only once. Why shouldn't I get what I can for myself? Command me, Kane. I'm at your service.
Korax, we must first rid ourselves of the menace of Buck Rogers. Prepare the space fleet to invade Themis at once.
It shall be done. It shall be done.
Kane, you're marvelous.
I told you these people could be led around by their noses. What's more, if anything goes wrong, we simply pass the buck to Korax.
Kane, with Buck and Wilma around, the chances for something going wrong are plenty.
Yes, I know it. That's why I ordered Korax to have the space fleet made ready. Not to invade Themis, that would be foolish.
I should think so.
The point is that if Rogers doesn't know it already, sooner or later he's going to know that we're here. Therefore, he won't waste much time coming over here. But with our rocket fleet for protection, we'll be more than ready for him when he arrives.
Seems to me, Kane, we have an even more powerful weapon than the rocket fleet.
What?
A certain individual who's lying outside in our spaceship under the influence of the paralysis ray.
Dr. Hewer, of course.
Right.
Have you renewed his dose of the paralysis ray?
Not since just after we got here, but I gave him a mighty heavy shot of it.
Then he'll be all right. And we'll have him right in our hands if Roger decides to continue.
Doctor, are you all right now? Wilma. Hey, Wilma, how did you get here?
We're in Kane's rocket ship, right back at his headquarters. How do you feel?
Why, pretty good. You must have given me an antidote for the paralysis, right?
Yes. I found it in the laboratory deck of this ship.
Wilma, this has been a nightmare. Kane and Adela have kept me under the influence of the ray practically all the time since they kidnapped me down there on the moon. When we first got here... We're still on the moon in Enceladus, aren't we?
Yes, Doctor. And Kane is in complete charge.
Well, when we first got here, I almost completely recovered consciousness. Ardela was right here with the ray projector.
That's terrible.
In spite of the antidote, I still don't feel entirely right.
Just relax for a minute, then you'll feel better.
Well, tell me, how did you get here? Kane said something about a gas generator in the control cabin of that other ship.
It almost got us, but we discovered it before taking off our space suits.
Oh, thank heaven for that.
Then we started following Kane's rocket trail.
Oh, so that's how you learned he'd come here to Enceladus?
No, we didn't find that out until we got to the moon thing.
Oh, I see.
But I was afraid Kane would learn that we'd got there and try to get away. That's why I didn't waste any time coming over here to get you before he could do anything about it.
Bless your heart, Wilma. But you've taken a terrible chance.
I know it, Doctor, but I couldn't leave you in their hands any longer.
Thank you, my dear.
Now, I came over here in a tiny space roadster, and it may have been seen. So, if you're feeling better, I'll take the controls of this ship, and we'll go right on back to Themis.
Yes. Yes, we'd better.
You see, by taking this ship, we leave Kane and Ardela without any way of escaping from Enceladus.
Splendid. Let's go immediately.
Right. Here we go.
Here you stay.
Hey. Hey, Kane.
Take your hands off those controls, Wilma.
Not much, Kane. You can't...
Shut up. Do as I tell you, or I'll pull the trigger of this rocket pistol.
All right.
Ah. You thought you'd meddle in our affairs again, huh? If you and Rogers and Ewer here had any sense, you'd have learned long ago to leave us alone. You've stuck your inquisitive nose into our business once too often, Wilma dearie. You managed to escape the gas in your control cabin, didn't you?
Now listen, Kane.
I'm glad of it. Because now you'll set the trap that'll catch Buck Rogers for me.
Kane, listen to me.
Quiet. Adela.
Yes, Kane.
Keep a gun on these two while I search the beautiful lieutenant for weapons.
Right.
Good night. Now our friends are in a mess. Whatever Killer Kane held the upper hand, it's now.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Thrilling adventures of Buck Rogers have taken us far away from the amazing super scientific world of the 25th century, far out into the great void of outer space. Where Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Hewer, you remember, are hot on the trail of the arch criminals, Killer Kane and Ardela, flying at top speed in their rocket planes toward the far-off planet Pluto. But the ship being used by the two criminals is identical with that of our friends, and that means that... But wait. Let's pick up our story in the control cabin of Buck's spacecraft.
Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Wilma, can you still see Kane's ship on the viewplate of the teleradioscope?
No, Buck. Either there's too much cosmic dust in the way or they've gained on us.
We're still automatically following them, though, Buck.
Yes, Doctor?
The gas analyzer's picking up a clear trail of rocket gas.
Good. But now, look here on this sky chart.
Yes, Buck?
This proves what I've suspected.
Oh, you've charted our course on it.
Yes, sir. Wilma, the two criminals are headed for one of the black planets.
Oh.
Or I should say planetoids that lie out near the orbit of Pluto.
Good night.
Yes, sir. Not so good.
Buck, you and Wilma were out there among those black planetoids once before.
Yes, sir.
And according to your reports about them, they're composed of a substance that absorbs light to such a degree that it reflects none.
In other words, Doctor, they're practically invisible.
Mm.
Unless you get them between the sun and yourself, you can't see them at all.
Even then, they just look like a dark blur against the glare of the sunlight.
And I take it that there's grave danger of running into one of them before you can even see it.
Not only that, but if you get close to one of them, its terrific pull of gravity is likely to make you crash on it.
I see.
But the real danger is not in the planetoids themselves.
No?
No, sir. Didn't you see the pictures I had taken with a telemagnetic recorder camera?
Of the gigantic bird?
Yes, Doctor. Space birds flying all around out there.
Yes, that's right. Well, we have the protection of our long-range disintegrator.
No, just the same. If a couple of dozen of them hove into sight, we'd have a pretty hot time on our hands. Doctor, some of those birds must have a wingspan of 300 or 400 feet.
Oh, what?
That's right, sir. The only reason we took pictures of them was because we knew it was the only way you'd believe us.
Their power of flying around in space is what I can't understand. You know, without air to flap their wings against.
Wasn't there anything to indicate how they propel themselves?
Only little streams of fire coming from the tips and edges of their wings.
Oh. How can they breathe in the vacuum of outer space?
We're flying around in space and managing to breathe without any difficulty, aren't we?
Sure, but we're inside the hull of a rocket plane with a mechanical system to supply air for us.
Isn't it just as logical to conclude that in the case of the gigantic bird, all Mother Nature has made the same sort of provision that we've had to make scientifically and mechanically?
Well, maybe so.
Wait, look.
Huh?
I can see Kane's ship on the teleradioscope again, and we're gaining on it.
I'm kidding.
Oh, yes. I believe you're right, Wilma.
I'm sure of it. But I don't see why, the two ships being exactly the same.
It's because Buck polished the stern of the ship by turning on the heat ray.
Yes, sir. By making a shiny surface of it, the rays of the sun, millions of miles in back of us, reflect on it and actually help to push us along.
It doesn't seem possible.
It wouldn't be possible except in this vacuum out here. But we're certainly gaining on Kane.
Okay. Well, if it's humanly possible, we've got to prevent those two from reaching one of the black planetoids. Not only because they could hide from us so easily, but because of the danger in navigation.
That's all right if we can catch up with him.
I'm not sure that we'll be able to. So listen.
You're going to radio to Kane?
Yeah. Calling Killer Kane. Buck Rogers calling Killer Kane.
What are you going to say to him?
Well, Rogers, how's my old friend?
Never mind that, Kane. We have more important things to talk about.
I can't imagine anything important that I'd have to talk about with you.
Kane, ever since you took off from Enceladus, we've been on your trail. What's more, we have a rocket plane that's just a little bit faster than yours.
You think so?
I'm sure of it. That means that in a very short time now, we'll overtake you. In other words, if you stop and think about it, the only sensible thing for you to do is to head back for Earth.
Oh, I see. That ship of yours is running low on fuel, and you're getting worried about whether you'll be able to keep up with us much longer.
Not a bit of it. The whole thing is simply that we're bound to get you sooner or later. And you may as well save yourself as much trouble as possible.
Listen, Rogers. The ship you're in is identical in every respect with this one. Same size, same streamlining, same rocket projectors, same everything. You'll never catch up with us, and you know it.
That's so? Well, suppose you look back and see how much we've gained on you just in the short time we've been talking by radio.
Rogers, I want to tell you something.
Well?
If by any chance you should catch up with us, you'll never take us alive.
Heroics, Kane. Forget them and think it over.
Why, you?
Well?
No, Buck, he'll fight to the bitter end. I only hope that he doesn't realize what's given our ship the greater speed and do it himself.
No, I don't think so. Look.
Huh?
Something black is streaming out the stern of his ship.
Yes, I see.
Yes, I wonder what it could be.
Suppose the continuous maximum flow of power from his rocket tubes is jammed.
It isn't coming out of the tubes, Wilma.
Focus the teleradioscope closely to bring out its tail.
Right. There you are.
Buck, that's ultronium, the heavy material these ships carry for balance.
Why is he unloading it that way? Lightening his ship won't give him any more speed, will it?
Not a bit. You're in space, it has no weight anyway.
What's the idea?
I don't... Wait.
Huh?
I think I know what he's trying to do.
What's that?
You see, that stream of ultronium dust is traveling directly backward along the hull.
Yes,
sure. Its forward motion makes it travel back that
well,
way.
Well, what it does is provide an element for his rocket blast to push against.
You're right, Buck. And he's picking up a little additional speed.
Not very much, though. And there goes the last of the ultronium.
Well, I hope it hasn't given him enough speed to keep ahead of us.
Oh, sir. It'll take a lot more than that to keep us from catching him.
Before he can reach one of the black planetoids?
Well,
Buck, I'll unrecoil energy projector.
Yes, sir?
Turn it back. And it will push against the rocket exhaust.
Sure, that'll give us more speed.
Why didn't we think of that before?
Turn it on, Buck.
Right, sir. There. Just let Killer Kane try to stay away from us now. Boy, Doctor, adding the power of our force ray to the rocket certainly did the trick.
There, so we're pulling up on Kane and Ardela now, all right.
Yes, I can see it through this forward this hollow glass window.
But say, Buck.
Yeah?
Doesn't it seem to be getting awfully hot in here?
Yeah.
Couldn't be anything wrong with the air conditioning unit, could there?
No, according to these dials, everything's okay.
It's getting hot, though.
Maybe there's a leak in the insulation around one of the rocket tubes. I'm going to take off my flying jacket.
What could be doing it, Doctor?
Well, if the insulation around a rocket tube, it would show up that... Wait. Look.
What, sir?
Look ahead at Kane's ship.
Yeah?
He's using a thermic radiation projector on it.
But we have a hull of solid imperium around it.
It won't prevent heat from slowly seeping in by simple radiation.
And the closer we get to Kane, the more we'll feel that heat ray.
Yes.
Just look at this thermometer.
What's it say?
38 degrees centigrade. It's about 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
Run the ventilating system at maximum, Buck.
It's maximum now, Doctor. It goes up automatically.
41 degrees centigrade.
Hey, you're telling me.
Phew, it's getting worse. There's nothing we can do about it.
All the metal in here is radiating heat. These controls are almost too hot to touch.
Maybe we better change our course.
After all we've been through to catch up with them? No, sir.
Buck, heat is awful. I don't think I can stand it much longer.
Minutes, we'll be able to hook onto Kane's ship with the magnetic grapples.
We'll be burned alive before we can reach it.
No, sir, we've got to keep on. We've got to, that's all.
Well, I admire Buck's spirit, but it looks to me as though the odds are pretty much against them. I will be back with you in a minute, so sit tight and hear a few words from your favorite announcer.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box.
Far, far from Earth in the great void of outer space, out near the orbit of the planet Pluto, Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Huer once discovered the black planetoids, small heavenly bodies made of a substance that absorbs light to such a degree it reflects none. Planetoids that are virtually invisible, that exist in a state of perpetual darkness. On one of these strange little worlds, a powerful floodlight would illuminate only a tiny area because of the lack of reflection. And that's why Killer Kane and Ardela, seeking to escape from our friends in a super rocket plane, roared onward and onward through space and finally landed on one of the black planetoids. The spaceship of Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Huer, badly disabled in the course of its flight, streaked downward into the planetoid's tremendous gravitational area, downward through its dense atmosphere, until finally it crashed. Now we open our story inside the ill-fated rocket ship's control cabin. Here we go. 500 years into the future.
Buck. Wilma. Are you all right?
I am, Doctor.
So am I. The crash certainly sounded bad, but... Well, we're all whole.
Yes. Thank heaven.
Knocked our lights out, though. I can't see a thing.
Well, I can.
Huh?
Our metal door must have been banged open. Look. There's a light coming through the port of Killer Kane's ship over there.
Yes, Buck, I see it.
And, Doctor, we finally got them.
Hmm?
Thinking that we're done for, they'll come over here.
All we need to do to trap them is to sit tight and keep perfectly quiet.
Buck is right, Dr. Hewer. We've got to be all ready for them. Now, if I can feel my way over to the weapon cabinet, I'll get at some disintegrators and rocket pistols and a hand lighter.
No, no light, Wilma. I'll spot them and know that we're okay.
Of course, sorry.
The curious thing about light on this planetoid, Kane's metallograph port over there is quite bright, but it doesn't cast any general illumination whatever.
Any light on this place is completely absorbed by both the ground and the atmosphere.
That's why the air seems so stuffy all the time. But here, here's some weapons for you.
Oh, good, Wilma.
Oh, thank you, Wilma.
Any sign of movement from their ship yet?
No, none whatsoever.
No. So we may as well make ourselves as comfortable as possible. Here, Wilma, there's a control seat right back of me right here.
Okay.
Only be careful getting to it because part of this half-wrecked control board is jutting out.
Oh, so I noticed.
Yeah, okay?
Sure. Well, now for a long, quiet wait until Kane and Ardela come over here to look at what they probably missed. If that crash landing didn't finish them off, I'll eat my flying jacket.
I'm pretty sure of it, aren't you?
Why not? Never heard such a crack-up in my life.
You forget one thing, Ardela. The shock insulation built into that ship.
I still don't think they could have survived.
We're going to wait right here until we're sure.
No lights have appeared aboard that ship of theirs. And what's left of it.
We're still going to wait.
Okay.
Now for a long, quiet wait.
What's this?
Huh?
Until Kane and Ardela come over here to look at what they probably think are our remains.
Do you hear that? They're alive.
No sign of their moving out of that ship yet. But they will.
It's coming through our radio unit, Kane.
Right. Their transmitter is on, but they don't know it.
You,
in moving around in the dark over there, someone has accidentally turned it on. Ardela, we couldn't ask for more.
I still can't believe they ever survived that crash.
Oh, don't you believe your own ears?
Well...
Now we can play that waiting game as well as they can. What's more, we're in a far better position to do so.
Buck?
Quiet.
Yes, Wilma?
Can you reach me a drink of water?
Yeah, the tank's right here beside me. Matter of fact, I'm so dry myself, I could almost exhale dust.
This is one for me, please. I can't think of anything I'd like more.
Right, sir.
What's the matter?
Water tank is bone dry.
Listen.
Oh, no, are you sure?
Let me have your hand. See? Drop coming out.
Oh, but water's one thing we can't do without it. This is serious.
I know it. Afraid there's nothing we can do, though, until we can get into Kane's ship.
Well, but... Okay.
No water aboard their ship, eh? If they only knew it, there's a water hole less than 100 feet away from them.
How do you know?
Now, why do you suppose I navigated our ship down to this particular spot?
Well?
It's exactly where we landed when we were on this black planetoid before.
Oh, I see.
Incidentally, there's a deep natural pit not far from here, too. Ardela, I've got an idea.
Well, it had better be good.
Listen, as long as those three are inside their ship, we can't safely get over to them to put them out of the way.
Of course not. The minute we used enough light to get their exact location, they'd blast us down.
But if we can get one of them out of that ship, and it would certainly be Roger.
Now, wait a minute. Better tell me how you think you can do it.
Easily. By turning on our radio transmitter and letting them hear us talk.
What?
But just to make sure you don't pull any of your usual boners, I'll carefully write out exactly what we're going to say beforehand.
It still doesn't make sense, Kane.
A little bit of carefully planned dialogue will get Rogers out of that ship while my name isn't Killer Kane.
Well, if you ask me, it'll have to be pretty good dialogue.
If you'll pipe down a minute so I can write it, it will. Now, while I'm doing it, you can keep a sharp eye in the general direction of...
Hours and hours, and still no sign of movement in Kane's rocket ship.
Oh, just gotta be patient, Wilma. This old wreck, we're helpless until they come over here.
If only there was some water. Isn't there an emergency tank of some kind on board, Doctor?
No, Wilma, I'm afraid not. We'll just have to be and bear it.
Buck, we'd stand at least an equal chance if we made an attack on Kane and
I. Forget it, Wilma. We're thirsty, too. We don't dare take any chances.
Look, the light from the port of Kane's ship has gone out. I wonder what that means.
Probably nothing, Wilma. It's in one of the forward compartments.
Dinah, I hope it doesn't mean they're getting ready to take off. If we let...
Now, wait, Buck. What's that?
Can't you even walk past this control board without bumping into it?
I'm sorry, Kane.
You hear that? Ardela's bumped into the control board and turned on their radio unit.
Did you turn out the light in the forward compartment?
Yeah. Now that we've got the water tank full again, we don't need it on.
Rather a lucky find, that water hole out there, wasn't it?
Listen.
It was a lightsaber. Did you mark it well?
With a small flare.
What a fuck can the rest see it?
They're dead aboard that cracked up wreck.
Maybe.
Anyway, the flare is behind a little clump where they couldn't see it.
Turn off the receiver, Wilma. That's all we need to know.
Well, why turn off the receiver?
Because I want to make some adjustments on both receiver and transmitter.
Okay. Hey, is our transmitter on, too?
What?
Oh, no, it couldn't have been.
Oh. Here now. I'm going to set this for a monodirectional beam on a wavelength of 4 centimeters.
What for?
There. Now, wait till I get into the locker here. There we are.
What are you going to do, Buck?
Put on a space suit and go out and get some water.
Buck, that's too dangerous.
This suit will give me protection and a way for us to communicate with each other while I'm out there. That's why I set the directional wavelength so that Kane and Ardela won't hear us.
But what if they see you out there?
In that blackness?
It's still a possibility, Buck.
I'll be just as ready for them as they'll be for me. One disintegrator and a rocket pistol, and I'll meet Killer Kane any place, any time.
But you can't fight the weapons on their ship.
Yes, Buck.
Only way they could see me from their ship would be by my getting in line with a flare. I'll stay the side of it.
And suppose you get lost out there?
You take a small hand flash and watch the directional rangefinder here on the radio panel, and you can guide me.
They might see that light.
Not if you cover it well.
Buck, I still wish you wouldn't go.
Thirsty?
Not that thirsty.
Sure you are. So is Dr. Hewer, and so am I. Here, help me get this helmet over my head, will you please, Doctor?
If I can feel my way over to your side.
Here, sir. Here we are. That's it.
Be sure you get it on straight so that you can talk to us through the midget radio unit. There now. Head on.
You hear me all right?
Yes. Yes. Here, a rocket pistol and disintegrator. And a container for water.
Thanks. Right. Now, here I go.
Doctor, I'm awfully worried about his going out there.
He'll be able to take care of himself, Wilma. He has rocket pistol, disintegrator, and the jumping belt that's filled into the uniform.
Buck?
Okay, Wilma. Sing along fine out here.
Don't run smack into Kane's rocket ship.
Judging by the light we saw, it's well away from where I am.
Inside of that flare marking the water hole?
Not yet, sir. Wait. Yeah, now I see it.
You sure it isn't another light in their plane?
No. Looks almost like a small bonfire.
Probably one of the flares from the laboratory deck of that ship.
Yeah, I guess so. Walking over toward it now.
No, well, be careful, Buck. You don't want them to see you against that light.
Don't worry, Doctor. Hey!
What's the matter, Buck?
Buck.
Buck. Buck, what's happened? Answer me, Buck. Buck! Buck!
Well, it looks as though Kane's trick has worked, doesn't it?
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Let's go, Junior.
You're a gentleman and a scholar. All right, that takes a shoot for me.
Sure. That's...
Hey, fellas, what are you doing?
Hey, we're shooting dice.
You're shooting dice?
Yeah.
Can I play?
Sure.
What are you doing?
I'm shooting dice. Not that way. Now, wait a minute. Wait till we see now. 7, you lose again, Bunchigloop. I'm sorry.
Time hey, what kind of game is this?
Oh, you never shot dice?
No.
Uh-oh.
I play a lot of games, but not that kind.
What kind of games you play?
I play kiddie games.
What kind?
Like post office?
Post office. That's a kid's game.
Not the way I play it.
Wait a minute. This is a real game.
Yeah?
You see, there's numbers on here from 1 to 6. You roll them out on the floor. See, if you throw a 6 and a 1, that's 7. That's a natural. You win. If you throw a 5 and a 2, that's 7. That's a natural. You win. If you roll a 4 and a 3, that's 7. That's a natural. You win.
That's all you do is win.
Well, no.
Oh, you can lose, too.
Well, once in a while. If you throw 2 aces, that's craps, you lose. If you throw 2 sixes, that's craps, you lose.
Oh, sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose.
That's
a fair game.
Fair game? Oh, sure, it's a fair game. You want to play it?
Yeah, I like to play.
Sure. Well, let's play. Come on.
Okay.
How much?
Whose turn?
Well, it'll be your turn. How much you want to shoot?
What do you mean?
Well, we gotta make it interesting, you know.
You want to play for money?
Oh, sure. All right, we'll just call it bank night, huh?
That's better.
Sure, there's no harm in that, is there?
My mother wouldn't like it if I was gambling for money.
No, certainly not.
Let's play for bank.
That's right, just to make it interesting. We'll put $10 down.
Okay.
Go ahead, now you shoot them. You never played this game before, huh?
No.
Oh, you like...
What I do?
Just throw them on the floor. 7 you win, craps you lose.
And then read them, huh?
That's all, read the numbers.
Here I go now.
Go ahead.
Watch this one, everybody.
Good luck.
Here I go.
Go ahead.
Whee! 7.
7. Wait a minute. I forgot to tell you, you don't pick it up right away.
I don't get to pick it up?
Oh, sure, but not right away.
What do you mean? I wait till it gets up to my chin?
That's the idea.
Then I get a truck and back it out.
Sure, do you like that idea?
That's cute.
Yeah, sure.
What do I do with the dice?
Well, they're still yours. You don't lose them. But okay. How much you want to shoot now?
Fade that.
I thought you told me you never played this game.
I never did.
Where'd you get that fade that?
Did I say something wrong?
No, you said it too darn right. What is this fade that? Come on, speak up.
I heard that at the Boy Scouts.
Then you have played this game.
Oh, no. When I was walking in the Boy Scouts one night at a meeting, I heard the Boy Scouts, they had some lumps of sugar with black marks on them, and I heard the kids go, wee, wee.
Oh, you heard the kids.
I didn't know that was a bad word.
But you didn't play in the game.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, that's all right. I thought he played Bunchagaluka. It's all right. There you are. Go ahead, roll them out. It's all yours. Seven you win, craps you lose. Go ahead.
My turn again.
Sure.
Wee. Seven again. It's beginner's luck, I think.
That's all it. Hey, that's right. It could be beginner's luck. What's the difference? How much you want to shoot now?
Let it ride.
Get up here. Just a minute. Where'd you hear that?
I thought the Boy Scouts.
The Boy Scouts.
Troop 35.
Troop 35.
Yeah.
Lumps of sugar.
Uh-huh.
Let it ride. Fade that.
I'm doing good, huh?
Yeah, you're doing too darn good. Let it ride.
It's still my turn?
Go ahead. Shoot the dice.
Put some money down.
You never played this game.
No, sir.
Go ahead.
Still my dice.
It's still your dice. Go ahead.
Here I go.
Go ahead.
Whee!
11.
Hey, you never said nothing about 11.
Oh, yes. That's right. Well, 11 don't mean anything.
It don't count?
Don't count. It's just a few extra numbers they put on the dice. It's,
don't mean nothing.
Don't mean nothing. Go ahead.
I get another chance.
You get the... Oh, the dice are still yours.
That's a good game.
Sure, go ahead.
Here I go.
Go ahead.
Whee!
Four.
Little Joe.
What is this Little Joe?
I'm clubhouse.
Clubhouse.
The Boy Scouts.
Everything's at the clubhouse, eh? You learned an awful lot down at the clubhouse, didn't you?
Yeah, we learned how to jump over the walls and wall scale. And...
Never mind the walls. I'm talking about
the fire.
This...
Put two Indians together and
I'm
rub
talking
them,
about
get
this game. Four is your number. If you throw a seven before you make that four, you lose. Don't forget it.
Okay.
Go ahead. But take it easy. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't choke those dice. Leave some air in there. Let them breathe. Let them breathe. You in that clubhouse. Shake them up.
Whee!
Three.
Three.
You lose.
How come?
Well, what did you roll the first time?
Four.
What did you just roll?
Three.
Four and three is what?
Seven.
So you lose.
Oh, you add them up.
Oh, you didn't learn that at the clubhouse.
Now, he didn't say anything about adding them up. I didn't know you had to add them up.
Louis, I'm sorry. Now it's my turn.
You mean I gotta use my money now?
For a change, yes, for a change. Just wait a minute. We'll put it all down, eh? Then you can take it all to the bank.
All right.
Put it all down. Here we go now.
11!
Yeah, 11, that's a natural.
11 don't count. You get another chance. You see, it was for me. 11 don't count. Don't count.
Yeah.
You get another chance. I'm a good sport, too, you know.
Sure. There we go. Six.
Six!
Now all we have to do is make a six.
Come. Six! You gotta make a six.
Come on now, six out. Six.
Six.
Wait a minute.
You lose.
That was
you
a
lose.
Six.
That was a six. You lose. What'd you roll the first time?
Six.
And what'd you just roll?
Six.
Six is 12. Craps, boxcars, big bennies.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. That is all the time that we have tonight for Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here, please have a safe and happy weekend.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Russian Tim, and I'm here to tell you about Rocket From Russia Fest, which is happening in Vancouver on July 21st and 22nd at the...